Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Hammer Lane Legends, and I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
And we just want to say welcome to the show again, because that's twice that I said it.
That's it.
How about
three
that?
You know? Welcome to the show. This is Hammer Lane Legends.
Welcome to the show. If you have a story, if you have a, you know, it doesn't even have to be a crazy and wild story. If you just would like to come on the show and talk about your experiences in the trucking industry, what you've seen driving, and even if you're not a truck driver, if you drive bus, if you drive Uber, I mean, we've had all kinds of people on the show. We want you to get a hold of us. Come on the show and have a conversation with us. And you can contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or you can go to the hammerlanelegends.com webpage and hit the contact section. You can reach us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. While you're there on the hammerlanelegends.com webpage, check out the hammerlanelegends.com/gear. And take a look and see what we have there in the shop, in the gear shop. We're adding things all the time. I was talking with producer Jack, and he's looking into getting baseball hats and stuff like that. We're just kind of adding things as we go, trying to make it more interesting there in the gear section. Brian, tell him about the voicemail line.
Voicemail. Phone number is 515-8.
No,
it's up all the time. Okay, the voicemail line, 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Short one hitters there, 5-10 minutes at most, so we can compile up voicemails here to do a voicemail show that we promise to crank out once every 3 months, so we don't lose them. So leave us a voicemail and we'll use it on the show. You have anything longer than that, email the show that you can get on here and we can do an in-depth interview with you.
There you go, because it's all about having conversations with people. People who do this for a living, people who drive, people who experience the road day in and day out. And while we're talking about things that are experienced day in and day out, it's better to be a day early than it is a day late. And that is talking about prepare with HLL.com. Take a look at your store shelves. Listen to your own president who tells you that there are going to be shortages when he stands at the podium and he actually expresses that to the American people. Take those things seriously. Really take it seriously because, you know, things don't look really good at this point right now. And, we're actually getting, you listen to the news. Listen to anybody out there who's talking about these things. And you realize that things are in short supply. So you may want to just get prepared a little bit for yourself, prepare for you and your family, take care of things, make sure you've got things, make sure you've got your ducks in a row. And you can do some of that at preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. If you need it, they have it. If you need solar panels to run some kind of little solar generator, they've got them. If you need a solar generator, they've got them. If you need tent supplies, if you need food supplies, if you need to a water filtration device, they've got them. So what I'm saying is if you need it, they've got it. Prepare with HLL.com. Brian, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Yeah, buy Brian a coffee because he drinks it. Keep us fueled. BuyMeACoffee.com/Hammerlane and just leave it's a virtual tip jar. Buy the guy a cup of coffee. You know, he drinks it by the gallons.
There you go.
He's got to stay awake.
Amen. You got it. I like my coffee like I like my women. Cold and bitter.
All righty then. Now, on with the show.
Oh, that explains the 34 years of marriage, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. My wife's awesome. So anyway, you know, today we're talking with Matt. Matt sent us an email, and it is awesome to talk with him, and we're looking forward to this conversation. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
We're doing awesome.
As they say, fan-damn-tastic.
Never better. Well, welcome to Hammer Lane Legends, and we do really do appreciate you coming on and kind of, as Tony used to say all the time, chop it up with us. And, you know, it's interesting to listen to people talk. It's fun to listen to their stories. To me, it's an interesting thing because it gives you a window into the life of this person, who they are and what they do, and I think it's kind of fun. And it also kind of gives people an opportunity to find out what goes on in this industry and what we see on a daily basis, the funny, the crazy, the weird, and the mundane. You know, it's all of those things. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into trucking, and how long have you been a driver?
Well, I've been a driver about 27 years now, and my dad and two granddads were both truck drivers, so I was kind of doomed from the start.
Why does everybody say that?
I started working at the trucking company my dad and one of my granddads worked at, and I was a dock worker making $7.50 an hour, and they told me, "Hey, you want to learn how to drive?" I was like, "Sure." So the day after my 21st birthday, I went and got my license, and you know, all the guys around the dock, I had about probably 7 million years of experience. guys, 70 years old then, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I started hustling on the yard for a little while and then got my license, and they gave me a keys of the truck and said, "There you go."
That's awesome.
The rest is history.
Yeah, as they say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So it actually runs in the family. You know, it's one of those things that just kind of you see it, you've been there, you've done that, and you know, you're just kind of following in step. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. I actually started it here in my family. My dad didn't drive truck, and I wound up getting my CDL, and then Tony followed along. And then when Jack moved Tony just a couple weeks ago, he goes to me, "Well, you know what? Driving a truck isn't all that bad," because he drove a, you know, 26 foot truck to drive Tony down to Tennessee. And I was like, "This is how it starts, dude."
Yeah.
It's exciting now, but start doing it for a living, and it, you know, the bloom is off the rose pretty quickly.
Yep.
So that's neat. I'm glad that you know, you've got all the, I mean, 27 years is a long time to be doing something. And that's one of the things that you realize when you start talking to drivers who've been doing this for any length of time, is that, you know, the time adds up really, really quickly. I mean, did you think 27 years would go by this fast?
No, I did not. And today when I sat down and started counting to see how long I'd been, I was like, "Oh my God, really?"
Exactly.
So I was like, "Oh, well, that's nice."
Yeah, it's a happy and depressing thought all at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's good because, I mean, you know, I could have had 27 years in a dreary office, you know.
Sure.
Right.
And that's, I couldn't have done that. There's no way.
Right. Like I always say, I mean, your office view changes every day of the week.
Every day of the week. And, you know, and I've done line haul. I started in the city. Mm-hmm. I did that for about a year. Then I went to line haul, and then I went back into the city for another company. And then, that company, I was line haul for like 8 years. And then I moved over here to Estes, and I've been at Estes for the rest of the time. And I've done line haul and city over here.
Mm-hmm.
And dispatched.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I've
been after my own heart.
kind of done it all, you know. I've run the inbound outbound docks, and you know, when they're on vacation, and so I mean, I've kind of done it everything, and I mean, you know, it changes every day.
Yeah.
That is the beauty of the trucking industry, is every day is a new day and every day is a different day.
Yeah.
So every day totally set
with
that.
Its new challenges.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
You know, it all depends How many fires am I going to put out today?
Right. Or how many acres am I going to let burn?
Right. There's that side.
Yes. Ain't that the truth? That's freaking hilarious. So which one did you like more? Do you like P&D better than Lionel, or you like Lionel better than P&D?
Well, it just, when I was doing the line haul, you know, I was single, and, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, I was running a 3-2 week. So, you know, 3 trips 1 week and then 2 the next.
Okay.
And I did that for a long time. You know, I was laying down at the, you know, my end points.
Yep.
So, and that was all right. I was good with that. But then, you know, I got married and had a daughter, and
things
I couldn't do that now.
Yeah,
right.
As soon as my daughter learned how to use the phone, she'd call me every day, you know, hey, what time are you getting home? we need to go fishing. When are you coming home?
Right.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. That I think that's cool. That you know, your daughter was interested enough in you to know when you're going to come home and spend time. That's really neat, dude. I think that's cool. Yeah. How old is she now?
She's 11.
Gotcha. Wow. That is so cool. I remember when Jack was 11. That was a long time ago. But that's neat. No, that is really cool. So when you were laying out, were you laying out 4 Estes, or were you, yeah, you know, when you were line haul for them?
No, it was for a different company.
Okay.
They've been out of business now for a long time.
Gotcha. Wow. That is really cool.
Yeah. I used to go from Dallas to Oklahoma border, pick up a third trailer, go to Oklahoma City, drop those, grab 3 more, and then go to Wichita, drop those, and then go to Salina, Kansas, and then lay down and then do the whole thing in reverse on the way in.
Wow. That's a lot of driving, dude.
He's in the land of the triples out there.
Yes, he is. when you said you pick up the third truck, I was like, wow, that, you know, never thought about that, but holy cow. Yeah, we only do doubles around here, so.
Now, it, you know, and the triples, they're not everybody, you know, that I talk to, you know, like I live in Iowa now, and they're all, oh God, that's, you know, I don't think I could ever do that. And I'm like, I'd rather pull triples than a 53.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Cause you know, on bad windy days, you got wind breaks.
Right.
Yeah.
53 ain't nothing but a big sail.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
Especially with them now, with they have the fuel efficient skirts on the bottom there.
Right.
You know, the girly trailers.
Those things are bad.
Yes.
They just, it's just like a wall driving down the highway.
It literally is. It's like, it's like driving a billboard down the road, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's true.
Yes, sir. It's crazy. So, you know, in light of all the things that you've done and the things, how have you enjoyed the trucking industry? Because you haven't done just the driving part. You know, like you said, you've been, you know, dispatching inbound, outbound, doing all these things. How have you enjoyed the trucking industry from what you've seen in the parts that you've played in it?
Well, this is going to sound dumb. I'm a people person, but I'm not a people person.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, I like right now, I've been running the same route for about 8 years. And, you know, I talk to the same shippers every day and get to know them and, you know, what's going on with them in their life. And, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know quite how to explain it, but you know, it's just it's always different, you know.
Sure.
And then, you know, you get the shippers you get into, and they're like, "Well, what is it?"
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right,
I didn't order it. I have no clue.
You know that, right?
Right. Yeah, you hit on that. You know, having the same route, you know, for 8 years, you build up a repertoire with your customer. You know, and, you know, first time you went in there, you know, the guy might have screwed you around 25 minutes or something before you get unloaded. Now you go in there, hey, Joe, hey, Matt, hey, Bob, and, you know, you're unloading in 3 minutes and you're ready to pull out of the door already. You know, I firmly believe in that, having, you know, that kind of a relationship with your well, you know, we call them our city guys with the, you know, with the final customer. And yeah, I mean, I've done it too, where, you know, you don't have an appointment. I didn't order that. Well, I sure in the hell didn't order it either. I get paid to bring it to you, and I get paid to take it back. You tell me what you want to do to now.
Right.
You know?
Right. We can do this to eat.
Right.
Take it off right now.
Right.
Tomorrow when I come back, we're going to have a re-delivery fee.
Right.
And
it might not be in one piece.
Right.
Right. And it might not be in the same appearance as it looks now.
Right. Right now it's pristine.
Yes.
Who knows? But yeah, that is one of the things. Yeah, the thing I found when I did city work, when I was a P&D driver, the thing I found the most frustrating was just the area that I drove. You know, I drove North Jersey, and you know, God bless the people that deal with it over there, because it you know, drove me crazy. And so that's why I got into line haul, and since I've been in line haul, I've actually really enjoyed doing what I do. You know, I enjoyed driving P&D and doing that kind of stuff, because early on, you know, 30 years ago when I started doing it, you know, I was doing stuff that was, and you know, from more rural in PA, because that's just the trucking company that I worked for. And it was one of those, you know, goofy little, you know, they have 10 trucks and, you know, 5 drivers, you know, one of those deals. And you do the best you can. But I found for myself that I've enjoyed line haul more for myself. It wasn't as easy on my wife and the kids because of being gone. And back then when I first started working for Pitt, we were laying out. So I know what it is, you know, when you're staying in a hotel, you know, you drive from Allentown, Pennsylvania to Cincinnati, Ohio, you're laying out. You're not meeting anybody halfway or doing any of that stuff. And, you know, that has all changed over the years. But that was one of the things that I always found, you know, it was nice. And at the same time, it wasn't, because you missed a lot of time with family. But, you know, it was what it was, and this is 30 years later, so what are you going to do? You know, such is life. But we're not here to talk about my driving experiences. We're here to talk about Matt.
Yeah, Tony.
So I know, Matt's right? I spent too many years doing this show with Tony, because it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, wait, this isn't the Brian show.
Yeah, it's like deja vu all over.
Yeah, it is. It is, isn't it?
Anyway, Matt, go ahead.
So Matt sent us a whole list of things that you know, he's experienced, things that he's done. And I just wanted to start with the, you know, Matt has a Bigfoot in Northern Oklahoma experience. And I would like to hear that. That is like, you know, it's at the top of the list, and it's like at the top of my own personal list. So Matt, take it away.
Well, it was one of those nights where, you know, I had the triples, and I was pretty tired that night, and there's an old abandoned way station in northern Oklahoma on I-35 headed into Kansas. And I've been listening to the good old Art Bell show.
Oh, there you go.
All the way from Dallas, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, the interviewer was talking about Bigfoot in northern Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, yeah, cool. So I listened to it all the way till that rest of that scale house. Got out to do my business there, and was going to take a little nap, and I got out of the truck and walked over on the passenger side of the truck. I hear something in the tall grass. You know, I couldn't see over there's a fence right there, and I couldn't see over it. So I'm standing there doing my thing, and all of a sudden something's charging me. So I jumped back up in the truck, locked the door, and, you know, tried to secure myself in the truck as good as I could. And I sat there for a minute trying to get my composure back. And I grabbed my big giant mag light that, you know, we used to have back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And rolled that had the air window on the passenger side. So I rolled it down and flashed that flashlight out there in that field. It was a herd of cattle. Dang, 2 o'clock in the morning, this bull's trying to charge me. and then come to find out, Art Bell's guest was talking about like Broken Bow, Oklahoma, on the other side of the state.
Missed it by that much.
Sorry for the letdown, but you know.
No, that's hilarious.
Tell everybody that. They're like, oh, really? Oh, really? And then I tell them that, and they're like, oh, God, really?
That's freaking hilarious. I think that's a great way to start it off.
Well, look at it this way. At least you got your calisthenics in there. You found how fast it takes you to get from the right side of the truck back in the truck.
Red is now. I almost went through the window trying to get in the truck.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, my word. I love that. I love that. So what about that, this? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
That going up 35 there, well, there was always something going crazy going on coming up through there. There was one night I got a call from another driver that was coming back to Dallas. And they had the highway shut down to one lane, mm-hmm. just south of Oklahoma City. And this lady and her husband were fighting and on the side of the road, and she got run over.
Oh, wow.
Well, they couldn't find half of her dang body. So they were stopping trucks at 10 miles down the road, mm-hmm. checking everybody to see if the rest of the body was in her truck, wow. caught into their truck or something. And I mean, just every night there was something else going on, you know, mm-hmm. it was a crazy stretch of road.
Oh my word. It sounds like it, you know, and that's the thing out there on the road, you know, anything is possible, you know, anything, literally anything. I mean, apparently, you know, dead bodies, Bigfoot, cattle, you name it, it's going to happen. So tell me about this, this dead girl at your door.
Oh, another I-35 incident.
Okay.
Mental note, no I-35.
Stay off I-35.
Yeah, this was right after the internet. We know everybody started getting the internet and the old dial-up internet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I get up there, and it was, 2 o'clock in the morning. I stopped at just north Oklahoma City after I hooked my triples and pulled over, take a little nap, and all of a sudden I hear some banging on the right side door, you know, like somebody's knocking on it. And I was like, what in the world? So I, trying to decide whether to look or to start rolling. And then all of a sudden I turned the light on, and there was a girl with blood on her face in the window on the passenger side. So I was like, what in the world is this? So I jumped out of the truck to see if I could help her, and when I, by the time I got to the other side of the truck, she was gone. There was nothing, no trace of anybody ever being over there. So, that pretty well freaked me out the rest of the night. So I got up there and got back down to Dallas and got home, looked it up on the internet, and in the Oklahoma newspaper, there was a wreck that had been there and a girl died. So, and that was like 2 weeks prior, so I was like, oh, well, that's not good.
Wow. So you had a ghostly visit is what you had.
Yeah, I would think that would be what it was.
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah.
Talk about the sixth sense.
Holy cow, you got that right. Bruce Willis, where are you?
Right.
Right.
Wow, that is
seeing some dead people.
Yeah, I mean, literally, that is just crazy. I mean, that would scare the tar out of me. I would be like, the way you feel, that's how I would have felt. That would shake me up the rest of the night. That's for sure.
The little stretch of road where I stopped, mm-hmm. I never stopped again.
Yeah, it only takes once, yeah. Right?
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Wow.
Mama didn't raise a fool.
Right.
Nope, you got that right. that's a fantastic story, man. That really is. That is. What about this rattlesnake on the road?
Oh, that was so we were me and another driver were running together from Dallas to Laredo on I-35. And we stopped at a rest area. And I told him to be careful when he jumped out of his truck, make sure that he didn't step on anything, because then rattlesnakes down there, they come out of the desert and warm themselves on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't believe me. He laughed at me, you know. So when we pulled into the rest area, I told him, I was like, be careful when you jump out of that truck. He jumped out of that truck, and there was about an 8-foot rattlesnake laying on the ground trying to get warm.
Wow.
And he stepped right on that damn thing.
Woo!
And when he looked down and saw it, and boy, he took off running. I mean, he ran probably 300 yards before he finally stopped. And he was like, how am I going to get back in the truck? I was like, I don't know. I got to go, though.
Not my problem.
Right.
That thing's big. I got to go.
Not my monkey. Not my circus.
Wow. And he stepped right on, and it didn't bite him.
Now, what happened? Well, we went back to look at it, and the truck that had left right before we got to it,
mm-hmm.
when we were pulling in, he was pulling out, and he had run it over, so it was already dead. but still, I mean, you know,
yes, sir.
Thing, it was probably 6 inches around. I mean, it was huge.
Wow.
And the rattles on it were. I mean, it was 8 foot long, and the rattles on it were probably 4 inches long. I mean, it was a big, giant rattlesnake.
Heck yeah.
And I never seen him run so fast in my life.
Dead or alive, that's going to scare the crap out of you. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. You look down and see that at your feet.
That definitely rattled him.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Wow. Have you ever seen anything else like that before on the road? Like, you know, rattlesnakes or things like that being out where you've been running around and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I had pulled into another time when, I mean, cause they canceled that Oklahoma City or that Wichita run.
Mm-hmm.
So I started running the Laredo, and I had already seen, snakes in there. And then I had also been out in New Mexico, you know, and the rest areas out west out there, they have signs all over the place that say, you know, watch for rattlesnakes.
Wow.
And, you know, I've actually, you know, seen them in the rest areas and stuff. So I knew that's what they did. And, you know, I grew up in El Paso, and, you know, it's nothing but desert. And then the night it actually cools down a little bit. And, you know, the snakes come out and try to get warm.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I mean, I've seen it, you know, once or twice, but that was the best.
Yeah. Oh my word. That is hilarious. Cause I mean, being where we're from,
yeah.
We don't really see stuff like that. You know, I mean, we're on the East Coast and, you know, we don't really, you know,
I'm beginning to like the cold weather now.
I know. Right? Starting to make a little sense while we're here, you know?
Well, when we moved to Iowa, you know, I started looking, you know, doing research, seeing what kind of snakes they had up here. We've been up here 8 years, and I think we've seen two.
Wow.
You know, and I'm like, well, damn, that's kind of nice. I don't have to worry about, you know, picking something up in the yard and getting bit.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Holy cow. Have you ever been held at gunpoint while making a delivery there, Matt?
Oh, matter of fact, I have.
Do tell.
Well, so I called this guy. My route in Fort Worth when I was a city driver, my last stop was about 2.5 hours outside of Fort Worth every day. And my whole route was in the middle of nowhere. And I called this guy early in the morning when I went through that town, and he said he wasn't going to be there till the afternoon. So I was like, all right, well, I need to get this out of here. So, I, you know, he said, well, meet me at my house at, you know, 4:00. Okay. So I call him at about 3:00, say I'm an hour out. I'll be there at 4:00. He says, all right, I'll be there. I'll meet you there. So when I pull up in front of his yard, his house, there's a guy standing out front. Well, I don't know that this isn't the guy on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me to pull in his yard or in this, you know, his driveway is probably 300 yards long. So he tells me to pull in and go around back and, you know, he'd unload me. Well, in the process of doing this, the guy that I talked to on the phone shows up. who's the owner of the house, and he runs some kind of business out of it. And that's one of his guys that works for him. So he gets out of his truck just yelling and screaming. I mean, you know, I told you to wait out front. And I was like, well, I thought this was you. Well, no, it's not. I was like, okay, well, I don't know this. So, you know, I told him, I was like, he had a big, giant bunch of acres, you know, and nothing on it. And it was in the middle of the summer and, you know, hadn't rained in 6 months. I was like, well, I'll just turn around and get out of here. I just want to leave. So he said, no, you're not going anywhere. You're not turning around in my grass and, you know, you're not doing anything. If you want out, you got to back out. Well, there was no way I was going to do that because, you know, 200 yards of twisty turns around trees and stuff. There's no way I could have done it.
Right.
So I was like, okay, whatever. So I called my dispatcher, you know, and tell him what's going on. And he was like, all right, well, just keep me posted. Well, then he comes out and he's like, I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to stay here because you're not getting out of here. You're not driving on my grass. You're not, you know, I was like, all right, whatever. So I was like, so do I need to call the cops or what? He was like, I don't care what you do. Just stay in your truck. I was like, okay. So I sat there for about 30 minutes, you know, talking to dispatchers and terminal managers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, he comes out. I tell his friend there that I'm fixing to leave, and you know I don't know what to tell you guys, but I'm turning around. I'm getting out of here. So he ran inside and got a 12 gauge shotgun and leveled it off on me. And I was like, all right, I've had enough. So I called the sheriff. Sheriff comes out, and you know, of course, as soon as you tell him I'm being held at gunpoint, and he's pointing it at my head.
Right.
You know, there's it was probably 15 minutes outside of town, and I had about six sheriffs pull up, you know, lights and sirens and so I told him, I was like, hey, he's holding me at gunpoint, man. What we got to do? Get me out of here. So, you know, the sheriffs finally talked to the guy. He said, all right, fine, turn around and get the hell out of my property. So I was like, fine. So I did, and as I was trying to get out of his driveway, he's got a nice pipe fence on either side of the driveway with the culvert underneath it, and my trailer was fixing to slide off that culvert, and it was going to end up touching his pipe fence. So, you know, I told him, I said, I just need to back up, you know, 6 inches to get, you know, enough turn to get out of here. No. You're not doing that. So I was inching it, you know, and then it almost had it out. And then he shut the gate as soon as my trailer passed it. But he still, the pipe fence was still there. So I ended up having to call a wrecker to pick me up and move me 6 inches.
Wow.
To get out of there.
Wow.
What? And he didn't even unload his freight.
All that. And he didn't take his freight with him. What the freaking heck?
I was there for probably 2.5 hours, and he didn't even get his freight.
Wow. What did the trucking company do? Did they send somebody back out to redeliver?
Oh, no. We sent that back.
There you go.
return to shipper, and we're not redelivering it, so don't send it back to us.
Wow. I mean, I have had some weird stuff happen, but that's crazy. That is a consignee who does not get it. It's like, you know, this is your freight.
You never found out what made him become unglued?
That was the least of my worries at that point in time.
I mean, you know, yeah, everybody's the armchair quarterback at this point. I was just curious. You know,
just not,
you
know, getting
if
shot.
The sheriff came out to you and said, yeah, this guy, this is the fifth call we've had this month or something.
No, and the sheriffs were all real nice. You know, they came, you know, half of them came and talked to me, half of them talked to him, made him go put his gun away. And, you know, he yelled and screamed and hollered. And, you know, they asked me if I wanted to press charges. And I was like, you know, I'll let you guys know tomorrow.
Yeah. Just let me get out of here.
Yeah, I just went out of here today. So, let's
yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's a customer who's got some anger issues. you know?
I would say so.
Wow. And yeah, and the funny thing is this guy's a businessman. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He has a business that he's running out of his house. Is that the way you treat your customers too?
Well, you know, when I talked to him earlier in the morning, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I really need that stuff. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
From the time you talked to him that you saw him, he must have really had a bad day.
He must have had a bad day. That's heck exactly. Yeah. That's the only thing I can say, you know, the only thing I can think of.
That is crazy. That is just crazy. You know, it's nuts. It's like, you know, when somebody wants you to just hang around. Have you ever been asked to just hang around?
Wow.
You know, can you just stay a while? Have you ever been asked that, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have been asked that.
Yeah.
So I had a residential delivery in one of those little bitty towns that I said.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a dress. It was a bedroom dresser. So I called her. She said, oh, yeah, we're here, you know, whenever you get here. So I show up, you know, drop the lift gate, get this dresser off of there, trying to hurry up, you know, and get to my next stop so I can go home. It's getting late in the day. Knock on the door, and this chick answers the door. And, you know, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing a like a silk robe, like a kimono kind of, you know, got Japanese letters on it and stuff, you know. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's all she's wearing underneath this thing.
Your day's looking up.
Ah, the silver lining has arrived. Yes.
Oh, no, that's not even half of the story.
To tell.
I ask her, okay, well, where would you like this thing? She's like, oh, can you put it in the bedroom for me? Because it was kind of big and bulky. So mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? So I wheel it into the bedroom, and I hear somebody's in the bedroom. And when I turn the corner into the bedroom, you walk in, and to the left is the bed, to the right is the wall where she wanted the dresser.
Mm-hmm.
So I see something moving in the bed, and I look over, and it's two naked women just going to town.
Wow.
I was like, oh, all righty then. So I set that down, and I pull out my delivery receipt. And
my iPhone?
Tell her, yeah, I'm going to need you to sign for this. And so I'm, you know, just kind of standing there, just standing there, purely standing there. And she signs it and everything, and then I get my two-wheeler and walk out, and she walks me to the door, and then she, I'm outside already, and she says, you sure you don't want to stay a little bit? And I turn around to answer her, and that little robe has disappeared. And she's like, wow. I looked at her, I was like, no, I got to go. My wife and my daughter are waiting at the house, so I got to go.
Wow.
If this was only
10 years, I don't know.
You know, sooner?
You couldn't ask me when I was single.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow. That is, I have never had a delivery like that.
No, not in my day.
That is crazy, Matt. Wow. You know, that's the kind of thing you walk away from and, it, you know.
That's you remember it.
You do. You don't forget. Yes, you do not forget that.
You definitely don't forget stuff like that.
Oh, my word. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, you know, when I tell my dad stuff now, you know, he says, or you ask him, you know, do you remember that? And he's like, no, I'm not going to remember it because I had a good time in the 60s and 70s, and I'm not getting rid of those memories with that.
Oh man, that's freaking hilarious. Wisdom. Wow. Wisdom. That's great.
Yeah. That's one of those stories where, well, you know, under normal circumstances, we're only required to bring it to the curb. But if you'd like me to assemble it, you restack it, load it, we could do this.
Where would you like it?
Yes. Do you think it looks all right on that wall?
Should we rearrange the apartment?
You know... Women know how to play us.
Oh, absolutely.
Freaking A.
Like a fiddle.
Yes, sir.
Come on now.
I've had several deliveries. I had this one, a big giant lake on one of my routes. And it was, you know, all the high upscale homes. And, you know, everybody there had more money than they knew what to do with.
Right.
And I pull up and I go down there and talk to her and you know, she's washing her car in her little skimpy bikini. And, you know, then I put her, it was one of those, like the Coke machine, Dr. Pepper freezers that at the end of the cash registers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, so I go put it in there. Well, it's still got the box over it and everything. And she's like, can you put this together so it'll work so I can fill it up? And I was like, no, we don't do that. So then she's like, well, I'll give you a tip. I was like, well, hold on a minute, you know. So I went and called dispatch, told them, I'm taking my lunch break, you know, just so, you know, they wouldn't have any liability on it, you know. So
right.
I go back down there, I said, I don't have any tools. She hands me some tools. So I take it off the little runner, the wood runners, and get it all fixed up. And she's standing there over me with her stuff hanging out, just talking away, you know. Oh, how's your daughter? You got a daughter and a wife? Oh, well, she made it worth my while. She gave me like $150 plus.
Wow.
Oogle her stuff all the whole time I was there. I get back in the truck and tell my wife, hey, I love you.
Yeah, they have our number, don't they? Freaking A, they know how to do it. It's like Charlie Daniels in Georgia, you know?
Right?
Oh, man, that's funny. That is too funny. So tell me about pulling triples in the ice. That has got to be an experience and a half.
Well, you know, pulling doubles in the ice sucks.
Yes.
Pulling triples in the ice is triple sucks. So the company that I worked for when I was doing that, I had a single axle tractor. And that night I was running, I left Oklahoma City, got up north Oklahoma City, and the ice was so thick on the road that I couldn't do but about, oh, maybe 30 miles an hour. If I hit 35, I'd lose traction and the tractor starts sliding. So I'm just cruising along. I mean, it wasn't bad per se, but it could have got bad real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're cruising along. And then I look in the mirror at one point and I've got about 15 trucks behind me. And everybody's like, well, hell, if this triples guy's pulling triples in this stuff, you know, we ought to be able to do it. So we're all talking on the radio, you know, and then we get up into Wichita, and it's still pretty slick up there, not as bad as it was in Oklahoma. So our terminal in Wichita, you had to make a left turn, you know, like it was a left curve is what it was, and then a right curve to go continue on the highway. Well, I'm going around that left curve, and somebody behind me tells me, hey, I thought you said you were making a left here. I said, I am. He was like, you better tell your trailers that. So I was like, what? I looked in the right-hand mirror, and all three of those dang trailers had started to – they were trying to go off to the Salina without me.
That's not
I'm
good.
Like, oh my God. You know, that's a lot of trailer, you know?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So, and I didn't want to hit the tractor brake. So I reached up and just hit that trailer brake, locked everything up, let it go. And then they all popped right back behind me. And I was like, oh my God. And all those guys behind me, they were just like, oh, God, did you see that? How did you do that? And I was like, skill.
Freaking A. Those are the days where you're like, man, you know what? Delivering that furniture wasn't that bad. Can I go back to that day? You know, this ice crap sucks. Oh, my word.
There was one night I was coming out of Wichita, and it had been snowing and ice for like a week, and then all of a sudden it got nice and started warming up. Well, there, you know how that happened. You know, you get all 3 foot of ice and stuff underneath your trailers. Mm-hmm. Well, it started melting off. Oklahoma Trooper got behind me in a brand new Trooper car. Big old chunk of ice came out and got him right in the grill. He sat there and made me go underneath the trailers and get every bit of ice off of it.
Wow.
Before he let me go again.
Underneath the trailer?
Oh, yeah. Every piece of ice off of my trailer.
Wow. Freaking A.
He was not happy. It put a nice big old dent right smack dab in the front of the hood.
Wow.
Yeah, well, he didn't like that very much.
No, they never do they? And it's like, why are you driving that close?
Right.
If you're driving close enough that something can fly out the bottom, a piece of ice or whatever, and you know, you get it, you know, you're driving at your own peril, you know? I wow, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd get, you know, would you? My answer might have been, well, where was Oklahoma Department of Transportation trying to get rid of this stuff? This is their problem, not right. mine.
Right?
This is because they're not doing their job. What in the world? If I had to climb underneath my trailer and remove all the stuff on the bottom of it and the stuff on top of it
before I go anywhere,
what the heck? Wow. Well,
yeah, like when we moved up here to Iowa, you know, in Texas, you know, we had snow every now and then, mostly mm-hmm. ice, and they shut everything down, so we
right.
had to drive in it anyway. I get up here, and when we moved up here, there was already 8 inches of snow on the ground.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, what do I do with this stuff? And then, you know, we don't have one of those cool snow getter off of the roof things, you know, at our terminal. So, you know, I'm like, I'm not getting up there. You know, it's minus 40 degrees up here with the wind chill.
Right.
And I'm not getting up there. Well, it just so happens that when we leave our yard and get up on the highway, there's a river that we have to cross, and that bridge has a big giant bump on it. So you go down that entrance ramp as fast as you can go. When you hit that bump, boom, all that snow comes out.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And I usually leave the yard at like 5:30 in the morning, so it's dark and there ain't nobody out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the reason why Brian and I were chuckling at each other, our company, we finally, after numerous years of waiting,
for a roof brush.
For one of those snow brushes, you know, to take the snow off the top of your trailer. They finally got it installed in our parking lot, and we used it 0 times. And now they're starting construction on our new terminal, and they took it down. Now you have to understand, this snow brush sat inside a trailer for at least 3, 4, 5 years maybe before we got it installed this winter, starting this winter, and they took it down at the end of this winter.
Well, maybe it'll be nice and ready for you guys at the new terminal.
I just figured, you know, they just wanted to find out they had all the pieces they needed.
It's all here. Yeah, we're good to go.
It's all here. Okay, we'll take it back down now.
they're practicing. They're practicing.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's why when you said the snow brush thing, we just chuckled.
Yeah,
like, I knew right where he was going.
We don't have one either. We have a snow brush thing. Well, it's called a 12-foot ladder and a broom. You know, that's about where we're at. You know, we're back there. So yeah,
every now and then when we get slow here in the city or we get inundated with Denver freight, I'll take an extra run to to Denver, you know, or not an extra run, but they'll send me, instead of on my route, they'll send me to Denver. Mm-hmm. And I got back. Well, they sent me to Denver one time, then they didn't have anything coming back this way. So they said I could either sit until they got something, which is going to probably be, you know, this was like 2 o'clock in the morning, or I could take some Salt Lake cities. So I was like, well, send me to Salt Lake. Come on, let's go. I ain't making money sitting here in the hotel, you know?
Right.
So I took off, or I used the cool brush thing on the trailer. I was like, hey, this is pretty neat. And then that's about the coolest thing that happened that night. I didn't check the dang weather before I decided to say yes to Salt Lake City. And, you know, I get up there between Cheyenne and Laramie, you know, the wind's blowing 70 miles an hour. There's 2 inches of ice on the road. And
welcome to Wyoming.
You know, single axle tractor and a, you know, set of doubles. And it's,
wow. Fun in the snow.
I got to Salt Lake and, you know, went to bed and got up the next, you know, after my 10 and headed back to Denver. As soon as you crossed into Wyoming, there was a wreck, you know, so I sat there for 4 hours or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided not to plow from Laramie to Cheyenne. So it was like 15 miles an hour on the road. And then there was fog from Cheyenne all the way into Denver. And then I ran out of hours 7 miles north of the terminal.
Wow. Isn't that the way it goes? So did they lay you down, or did they actually send somebody out for you or give the okay to go?
No, they sent me somebody out there and picked me up and drove me back to the yard.
That's good. It is, it, you know, this is the stuff that drivers put up with in the wintertime, inclement weather and all of that. I mean, you hit it all that night. You hit it all. Snow, yeah, it was, fog. I mean, that's just, yeah, it was, that's
that,
the job.
That was bad.
Yeah.
And then from when I got back to Denver, they sent me to Kansas City. And my, I don't know, it was so cold, even with cardboard on the radiator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had every piece of jackets, coveralls, 3 pairs of socks, my big thick gloves, and I still couldn't get warm.
Wow.
It was so cold that night. Oh, my God.
Wow. You know, that's the beauty of the job, right?
Yeah.
So they tell me. Wow. Right? It's crazy. It is crazy, the things that you wind up having to do in order to stay warm in this job sometimes. So what about this mad pit bull in a wreck?
Well, that's another I-35 situation.
Again, avoid I-35, people. That's all I can tell you.
I've learned this day of this show, I've learned stay off I-35 because of the paranormal, and stay off 80 in the winter, just like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it is, pretty much.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, go ahead. I was rolling north Oklahoma City, you know, just got my triples, and I was probably... yeah, probably about an hour outside north of Oak City. And this pickup, old beat up pickup, passed me just going all over the dang place. And I mean, he was flying and couldn't keep it in between the lines, you know, and he weaved when he should have bobbed, and he went off the road and flipped it over on its top. So, you know, I stopped and ran over there with my flashlight to go make sure he was okay, you know, run up to the window with this damn big giant 150 pound pit bull with teeth 6 inches long. Was really mad. And he just, so I calmly walked back to the truck, got on the phone and called 911 and said, hey, there's a wreck. This guy's flipped over. And well, is he okay? I don't know. Well, you need to go check. I was like, no, this dog's going to kill me. What dog? It's like the dog that's mad and that's trying to protect his owner. And he was like, oh, well, we'll be there in just a minute. So then, you know, the cops got there and everything, and the dog had gone off in the, you know, So they didn't even believe me that there was a dog. You know, they just didn't think I didn't want to go check on him, you know. I was like, no, I went and checked. I said, he's still on his seatbelt hanging, you know. I was like, I can't go over there because of that big old dog. And they were just, they just looked, we don't see a dog. I was like, you're lucky. Because he was quite upset.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, especially a dog that big.
He did not like the ride.
He didn't enjoy it.
He did not.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Okay. We have come to that time in the show. It is shitty time. So, Matt, regale us with your shitty time stories.
Well, so every now and then, you know, we get, you know, like I said, we get inundated with Denver freight. They have a halfway meet, about four guys every day go out there, you know. So one of them was on vacation, so I said, I'll take it out there. So I'm going through Omaha, and usually I take the bypass and, you know, go all the way around Omaha. And this day I decided I've left early enough to where I could miss the traffic. Well, I ended up not missing the traffic, and I got there, got into Omaha right at about 8 o'clock. Grant you, Omaha doesn't have a lot of traffic, and it was flowing at, you know, 65 miles an hour. So we're all cruising along pretty good. I come up over the hill, and there's cars just weaving and bobbing and trying to get out of the way. And I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on. And I got a set of pups, so I'm trying to downshift and slow down because, you know, I don't have one of those automatic trucks. So, you know, I'm actually downshifting. And there's one of those porta-pot trucks that lost two porta-pots.
Wow.
Onto the highway. And he's on the shoulder, and there's two porta-pots in the middle of the highway. And so I'm like, what the hell am I going to do here? You know, I'm trying to figure out, because I got cars all around me. I finally got to a spot where nobody was around me. So I whipped that trailer and on the driver's side, the back trailer, and hit the porta pot to knock it off on the shoulder. And
he's playing baseball with porta pots.
I do not think that he emptied that said porta pot before he picked it up. Because when I hit said porta pot, it shot, oh my God, it shot some nasty stuff all over the trailer. You know, and then it hit that centered concrete divider. It just, I mean, the porta pot disintegrated and crap went everywhere. So,
you know, shit hit the center butter.
Yes, it did.
Yep. And so I kept going, and you know, I didn't pull in or stop or anything. It shouldn't have been in the highway.
Right.
So I get to my meet point, and I went to go do my post trip, you know, before my meet driver got there, and he, you know, I was like, ugh, I'm not even going back there. 'Cause, I mean, it was, the whole side of the trailer was brown.
Wow.
So he gets there, and I looked at him, and I was like, look here, if you know what's good for you, don't even bother yourself with back there. And if I were you, I would not unhook that trailer when you got to Denver. I'd make the hostlers do it. And he was, so he just laughed. He didn't know what was going on. He calls me a little bit later after I'm already gone, headed back, and he's like, what in the hell is on all over this trailer? I was like, you didn't touch it, did you? He was like, no, what is it? I was like, it's shit. And he was like, there's no, what did you do? So I told him the story, and he was like, oh my God, that is so disgusting. I was like, why do you think I told you not to touch it?
Exactly.
Right. You gave him a heads up. What more did. Does he need?
You warned him. That's all you can do. Oh my word.
Yeah, that was, Every episode, when I hear you guys start talking the poop stories, I'm like, oh, I got one for you.
I got one.
That is a serious poop story, dude. Wow. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be the guys that had to break that thing down when I got back to the yard and unload that sucker.
No, not at all.
You know, I'm not cracking that seal. You take it out back and you hose that sucker off.
Well, I mean, by the time it got back, it was during the summer.
Oh.
So by the time it got back to Denver, it was crusty. It had to have been.
That is a water and scrape job.
Not I can't fun. Believe they didn't unload it and send it back over to us.
Oh,
said probably nope, not gonna happen. Take this to the Blue Beacon.
Run it through twice. Oh my word. Freaking A, that's hilarious. Matt, this has been just a blast. It really has been. It's been great talking with you. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything else you're thinking about? Any other stories that have happened since you sent the email or anything like that?
No, not really.
Okay.
I every day I go to Lincoln, Nebraska. So I mean, and it's pretty tame over there.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's not a. I don't get flashed. I haven't been flashed in 8 years. You know how discouraging that is?
I know. I know exactly what you mean. It's been a while.
Like down there in Texas, you know, I used to go when I go to Laredo. The college chicks down there towards Austin. Oh my gosh. Every night I'd go through there about 1:30 in the morning. Every night, at least one or two, you know, cars pull up flashing me. You know, I was like, yeah. Well, there was one night or one afternoon. It was on Saturday morning. We were coming back up. And we were running about, you know, all the LTL companies, you know, they end up getting on the same schedule, you know, and got to, you figure out who's got what cut times, you know. So you're running with R&L and Estes and, you know, whoever, you know, you end up with like six or seven different companies running right there. Mm-hmm. So we're all talking on the CB, and the guy running behind, you know, the last truck, he says, hey, look at this little car coming up. So everybody's looking, and, you know, they stop parallel with everybody. Each truck, let them, you know, look at them for a minute and then go to the next truck. And so they did that. And when they got, I was up front and they looked at me, you know, I looked down and, you know, there's like three chicks in there butt ass naked. So I was like, whoa, hey, good deal. You know, cool bit. You know, couldn't have been a better Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You know, so they all go back, you know, and then they let everybody watch again. And then, I jumped over because the guy in the back, he said, I need another look. So I jumped over and blocked him in. And all of a sudden, the damn highway patrol trooper down there, he gets on his radio and says, hey, actually, what are you doing? I was like, you might want to come check this out for yourself.
So yeah.
we let him come and check it out for himself. And he was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. He's like, one more look and then let them loose. Like, you got it.
Yes, sir.
That's hilarious. Oh, my word. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. You said on the email there filled in supervisor positions.
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I went down the path you did, you know, doing the fill in for all that. And, you know, for me, it was I couldn't stand being inside of in the four walls. I mean, how was it for you coming off the road doing that? And then I ended up going back on the road again because I couldn't deal with just being inside looking at four walls all day. I was just wondering if you had any kind of, you know, same scenario there.
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, you know, dispatching wasn't bad. You know, every now and then I'd you know, fill in for the inbound or outbound supervisors. No big deal. I knew I was going to be driving the truck as soon as they get back in, you know, so that wasn't big deal. And then I started dispatching and I actually liked that. You know, and that wasn't bad, but they made the decision for me to get back in the truck because I asked for a raise.
Right.
Because I hadn't had a raise in 2 years. And I had somebody laugh at me and tell me, no, you're not getting a raise.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, you know, if you would have thrown $50 at me a week, I might have stayed, you know. And all the customers, they all loved me. So, you know, so I was like, I don't see, I'm getting everything done. I don't see why, you know, you want to be like this. And they was like, no, not going to happen.
Right.
Like, okay, wow. Well, put me back in the truck.
Yep.
Yeah. Got 2 weeks to find somebody.
Wow.
But, yeah. I mean, you know, and I actually, you know, was wanting to stay in the office just to, you know, just to get out of the truck.
Sure.
I mean, I've seen, you know, how my dad, how it's, you know, it affected him and, you know, his, over the years, you know, get breaking down, you know,
sure,
getting hurt. And luckily, knock on wood, I've never been, you know, never had to go out on workman's comp for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my granddad too, you know, he, you know, was get hurt every now and then. And, you know, my dad had an 800 pound pipe fall on his foot and bust his toes open.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, I, every day when I go to work, I'm like, is today the day?
Yep, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That's the, you know, some of the stuff that goes on in the industry, that's difficult, you know. Injuries happen, and even just the wear and tear on your body, just the bouncing all, you know, like I'm a line haul driver, ship's a line haul driver, and just the wear and tear in and out of the truck, climbing in and out all the time, and, you know, the natural wear and tear of the job on your body. I mean, it wears you down. I mean, if you walk away from this job and don't have hip problems, knee problems, back problems, you're lucky, you know, or all three, yeah. You know, I mean, God bless you, you know.
Me and my daughter flew to Fort Worth last month, and first thing I did when I got there is went to my favorite chiropractor and got the full blown throw me around the table because I hurt.
Yes, yes, sir. It all hurts. You know that's what happens. You know, so I have a chiropractor that I go to in Kutztown. It's a small little town around here. But yeah, I mean, it just every now and then you got to go get adjusted because your hips get out of alignment, you know, your back is all whacked out and, you know, constant lower back pain. It just doesn't ever subside, you know, it is the wear and tear.
You know, and like now that the trucks now, you know, they're a lot more driver friendly as in comfort wise.
Most definitely.
You know, you don't get beat as bad. But like when I was running that Oklahoma City run, and that Laredo run, the company that I worked for then, that truck that I was driving had like 1,500,000 miles on it. And I mean, it felt that way. Old Sterling.
Oh, and, wow. God.
Yeah.
And single axled to top it off.
Wow.
And, you know, it just, you know, by the end of the night, you're done. You're just beat.
Yep. You feel every one of those million miles on your back, you know?
Right?
Yes. You have experienced every one of them. And that's what's crazy. You know, especially, I mean, now we, you know, what we do, we drive twin screws, not single axles, but, you know, like some of our city guys have single axles. And I just think to myself, man, these things just beat the living crap out of you. I don't know how you do it day in and day out. I just don't. Especially on PA roads, man. They are not. Right. Well, they're not known for being smooth.
Iowa and Nebraska roads ain't much different.
It seems to be something that is endemic all across the nation. You know,
just a lot more corn out there.
More corn, bad roads, more corn. You know. Oh well, my word!
Like earlier today, we took a little trip over to Des Moines, and coming back, I told my wife, I was like, you know, I hate spring, and she was like, why? What's wrong? I was like, all these dang, you know, everybody's fixing to start trying to fix all the stuff that the snowplows tore up over the winter.
Yeah.
You know, so it just, you know, it just beats you to death, you know?
Yep, yeah. It does. It just does. I mean, it's amazing what the winter does to the roads. But what the winter does to the roads, it does to us. It just wears you out, you know? It does. Winter is a tough season, you know?
It's, and you know, and it's, you it's, you know, summertime, even in the rain, it's not too bad. You know, you can kind of judge what you, you know, what you're going to be doing today. Wintertime, the road condition changes
right
in 30 seconds.
Yes, it does.
You know, you can go be going real good, and then all of a sudden you can be going sideways.
Yes. That is the truth. Oh my word, that's the truth. So, well, Matt, listen, it was really good talking with you. Thank you for coming on, and we appreciate you sharing with us, you know, the different stories. This was a blast. It was really a blast. And, you know, I will not forget the will you stay a while story. You know, that's one of those that's just going to stick in my head. It's like, yeah, I got out of P&D way too early.
Yeah, right.
But all that being said, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. And we want to thank everybody for listening and sharing the show with us. And if they did enjoy the show, Shipper, what can they do?
Share the show. Share the show with your friends, neighbors, frenemies. Everybody.
Just anybody and everybody.
Everybody and anybody.
Amen, so. Brother. So we appreciate it all. You all take care of yourself. Shipper, what do we say every week?
Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Amen, brother.